Welcome to episode 5 of the Black Cat Podcast, guys. Thanks as always for checking out the show. My name's Sam Patching from blackcatreport.com. A little bit more to talk about this week. We've got some actual football games that were played on the weekend. The Auckland Nines. Oh, the Auckland Nines. Wasn't great. Wasn't the most exciting thing I've watched as a Panthers fan in the last 12 months, but I'll take it. It was football. There was plenty of stuff happening. The final of the tournament was actually a pretty awesome game from an excitement standpoint. But yeah, getting back to the Panthers, it was a pretty average showing from the boys and something that we really shouldn't be too surprised about at all. It was a pretty young team that had been thrown out there by Ivan, and something that I think he was really just hoping to get out of without picking up any major injuries, and he managed to accomplish that. So way to go, Ivan. Way to go, Panthers. We have no injuries as of yet in the 2015 football calendar, and that's something that we should all be extremely happy about, and something we could probably be even more happy about than taking away the trophy from the Auckland Nines tournament. So way to go, boys. Job well done. But yeah, moving on to the tournament. The first two games were extremely freaking ugly. They were ugly games of football, and yeah, Isaac John, I guess, was probably the catalyst, I'd say, in the fairly unattractive brand of football we had to watch over the weekend. And nothing against him. I think it was just a matter of Isaac being pretty rusty. He hasn't played any competitive football since early last year when he ruptured his Achilles or tore his Achilles, whatever that injury was. Yeah, so I guess for Isaac, it was really just a matter of getting back out on the football field and trying to lead a fairly inexperienced team around the paddock. And when you consider that that was what his task was for the weekend, it probably would have been a fairly difficult task for even a guy like Jamie Soward, who obviously is a little more experienced at leading teams around the field. But yeah, when you're faced with playing with a young crop of forwards and also inexperienced outside backs, it's a difficult game to play. And then you consider that the actual code of the Nines Rugby League is completely different to what these guys normally play. It's really no surprise that Isaac struggled the way he did, and I'm not going to hold it against him at all. I think he's still got plenty of time to get himself into fighting shape, and yeah, I'm more than confident that if at all Isaac's numbers called during the season, he will be ready to step in. But even if he's not, I was actually quite happy with the performance from Adrian Davis, who sort of featured quite heavily in the third game of the weekend in that loss to the Cowboys. He was sort of leading the team around the field in Isaac's place, and he actually did it quite competently. His short kicking game was fairly impressive, and even the way the Panthers looked in attack with him playing sort of that weird halves role that you play in Nines footy, he looked quite comfortable out there with the guys. And yeah, even if he doesn't provide any first grade depth this season, I think that Adrian Davis will probably be a fairly important part of the reserve grade team, and that's something that we should also consider to be an important part of what we're doing at the Panthers here. I think having a top level reserve grade team is really important for our young guys coming through, to make sure that even though they're not playing first grade footy, they're playing at a high level when they do get that shot in the reserve grade level. And yeah, having talented players that can sort of lead these young guys around the field is really important, even at reserve grade level, just to know that all these young guys, as they're stepping through the ranks, are getting good leadership out on the field. And yeah, I think Adrian Davis showed that he will be a pretty solid pickup for the Panthers, even if it is only in reserve grade. So of all the guys that we saw at the Nines tournament on the weekend, I think George Jennings was probably the one that, at least in my opinion, looked like he would be probably the most dangerous one of the new guys that we haven't really seen in first grade yet. George Jennings looks like he's going to be a pretty dangerous weapon for Ivan Cleary in the outside backs. And with Josh Mansour out in the early rounds, as we're sort of expecting, it would be nice to see George Jennings step in and really flourish in the first grade team. And I think he showed that he's got a really dangerous first step, and he looks like he's a really hard guy to take down as a defender. So if he can create a few tackle busts and yeah, break the line every now and then in those first few weeks, I think Ivan will be really pleased with what he'd be getting out of George in the early going of his career. And yeah, that first step of his showed that he's going to be a dangerous player in first grade pretty well straight away. And there's no reason to believe he's going to be a liability in defence either. He really didn't make any errors. Not that it's an easy thing to judge in a nines tournament, but he didn't really make any obvious defensive errors in the nines tournament. So all signs are sort of pointing towards George Jennings being a valuable first grade player, and that's something that we sort of, if anything, we wanted some things like that to come out of the nines. And as I said before, no injuries, which we accomplished. So yeah, that was probably one of the highlights of the nines tournament, at least in my opinion. And then you go onto the forwards, guys like Andy Saunders and Regan Campbell-Gillard, who did struggle a little bit. I guess it is a difficult thing to stand out as a front rower playing in a nines tournament, just because the game is so different to what these guys are used to playing. The tempo is insane. So if you're a big forward, especially a young guy that hasn't quite filled out properly to be a first grade football player, it is difficult to keep up with a game like that. And I thought Regan Campbell-Gillard particularly seemed to struggle with keeping up with the pace of play. And Andy Saunders, whenever he touched the ball, actually looked like a real sort of wrecking ball running the ball up the middle there. And yeah, I think Saunders looks like he could be just about ready for first grade. And again, Regan Campbell-Gillard, while he did struggle a little more than Saunders to be engaged in the action on the weekend, he did look physically like he was pretty well there. And yeah, he looked like a first grade player, just physically looking at him standing on the field. So as long as that translates to looking like a first grade player when he's actually playing football, I'm happy with these young guys that we've got coming through. And I think we've got plenty to be excited about with the Panthers juniors heading into 2015. One of the newbies also made his debut for the Panthers this weekend. That was Appy Korosau. Was a little ugly out of Appy Korosau this weekend. I can't actually recall a single play he made out of dummy half on the weekend. I don't recall him going for any runs or anything like that out of dummy half and really threatening the defence at all out of dummy half. And maybe it was that he just wanted to feed the ball to the young guys and sort of play it safe. But yeah, on the weekend, he didn't look like he would be anywhere near challenging Seguiaro for a starting spot in the first grade team. So yeah, after what we saw on the weekend, I think Seguiaro should feel pretty comfortable with where he is in the first grade team. Not that he didn't really have any reason to be uncomfortable with his position, but just as I was saying in one of the first episodes of the Black Cat podcast this year, it seemed like when we were coming into training camp, Ivan Cleary was really challenging both Seguiaro and Korosau in making sure that they were both ready for training camp. And he didn't want Korosau to be coming into training camp expecting that he'd already lost the job. And yeah, I don't think he did anything in the nines tournament this weekend to send any message to Ivan Cleary that he needs to be involved in the first grade team, and maybe enough for him to start the year off in New South Wales Cup and Seguiaro get the run as an 80-minute player. Which I think, yeah, that's probably what we all want anyway. I think having Seguiaro as that 80-minute hooker probably does allow you to bring that extra bit of back row depth onto the bench, and yeah, have that extra forward on the team. Ben Murdoch-Masilla later in the season was invaluable in coming off the bench for the Panthers, and having Seguiaro play the full 80 minutes really allows you to exercise that luxury in having that extra front rower or that extra utility on the bench. And yeah, I think that's probably what we should expect to see out of Seguiaro coming into the early rounds of the season. And the big story out of the weekend, I guess, was, I don't know if this is a big story, but Kevin Kingston making his triumphant return to the Panthers team. It was funny. I really liked Kevin Kingston like 4 years ago playing for the Panthers, but For as long as Seguiaro's been here, and even I guess a year before that, it seemed like Kevy Kingston might have been a little too old and a little too slow to be playing first grade. And to be brutally honest, I know that Kevy's part of the coaching staff with the club now, and I'm sure him being out on the field was more than anything just getting his young guys more comfortable with him as a leader and as a coach. And that's probably what that exercise was on the weekend. But he really didn't look any different to Freddie Fittler when Freddie came back for the Roosters, and that might sound harsh, but Freddie Fittler was impacting those nines games as a, whatever he is, 48-year-old guy. more than Kevin Kingston did, who was actually our first grade captain to start the season last year. And it was nice to see Kevy off with the boys. But yeah, I think Kevin Kingston's professional career probably has run its course, and we should get excited to see what he does now for the club as a coach, and leave it at that. So I'll move on now to, the team preview series, which we've been running all off season now. And we'll start this one off with the Parramatta Eels, who the Panthers split the season series with last year. It was the first time we played Parramatta last year, it was actually a pretty tough game. They really, it was sort of the earlier phase of the season where Semirad Radra was sort of really bursting onto the scene, and Jared Hayne looked like he was in really solid form. But later in the year, we did play him again. I think it was during the Origin rounds, but we absolutely smacked them on. I think it was a Friday night game, and that was sort of the coming out party for Tyrone Peachy, who's scored a couple of really nice tries from memory. And yeah, we're going to be playing the Parramatta Eels again twice this season, once at home in round 12 and then round 22 in Darwin. So that should be interesting. Parramatta have obviously forfeited their home round against us to take it up to Darwin. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one. And the bookies for this season have set the over-under for Parramatta's wins at 7.5. So basically putting them in the sort of 18 to 20 point range, which is quite low for a team that last year finished, I guess, a game. Yeah, they lost that last game, which would have sort of put them in the hunt for a playoff spot. Maybe actually would have cemented their playoff spot. I remember it was a loss to Canberra, and Jared Hayne almost pulled a miracle win out of his butt. But yeah, they obviously the main storyline for Parramatta this year is Jared Hayne, and he's no longer here. And it'll be really interesting to see what Parramatta do with that extra cap flexibility they now have with Jared Hayne leaving the team. It obviously opens up a world of possibilities, since you pretty much have to assume that they have to plan for Jared Hayne not returning to the team. As sad as that is, they've got all this money basically just sitting there now, and they need to do something with it. Otherwise, they just won't be able to compete this year. And guys like Kieran Foran are out there sort of for the taking. And it'd be interesting to see if Parramatta took advantage of their newfound flexibility and sort of brought Kieran Foran back to play alongside guys like Anthony Watmo, who was their sort of marquee signing of the off-season. And who knows, even if they have a slow season this year, it may be a much bigger year for Parramatta the following season. And I think Jared Hayne leaving is obviously a big loss. He might be the best player in the game, so it's hard to say it's not a big loss, but it does open up that fullback position for Will Hopewate, who, not sure if this is common knowledge, but yeah, Will Hopewate did play most of his junior football as a fullback, so I'm sure he'll be chomping at the bit to get that opportunity to play fullback for the Eels this season. And obviously he's great in the centres, but yeah, bringing guys like Bo Champion and even Reece Robinson as some more depth for the outside backs, you'd like to think that's enough cover for Will Hopewate to move to be the permanent fullback for Parramatta. And yeah, slot Champion into the centres. And if there's that extra spot on the wing, throw Reece Robinson out there. And yeah, I think Parramatta, that 18 to 20 point range seems a little low to me. I still think that there is a talented squad within there. And if Will Hopewate can have sort of a breakthrough season, which doesn't seem out of the question when you consider his age coming into this season, he's now entering, I guess he'd be 23 years old now. And yeah, he seems like someone that could really sort of burst onto the scene this year. And obviously Semirad Radra is a really dangerous player on the wing, probably the most dangerous winger in the game. And yeah, there's nothing to not like about bringing in a guy like Anthony Watmo. Even last year, he was still an invaluable player for Manly, and seems like one of those guys, whenever he gets the chance, even at the highest level, like playing for New South Wales, he's more than up to it. And yeah, you'd like to think that if he's given a little more responsibility at Parramatta than he was given at Manly last year, then he would really, really flourish with that opportunity. So that's something to look out for as well. And I guess, yeah, you just have to look at the returning players as well. Yeah, Corey Norman, Chris Sandow, and as I said earlier, Will Hopewate are all guys that are going to be real sort of keys for Parramatta this season. And if that halves pairing can click and they've still got a dangerous forward pack, you'd like to think that they could very well be contending for that, for one of those very last top eight spots. And yeah, I think that a lot of that does ride on Chris Sandow having a great season and Corey Norman playing well. And yeah, then again, it really does come down to what Will Hopewade does at the fullback spot, because Jared Hayne is a huge loss for any team. And if Will Hopewade can take his game to the level that I guess he's being paid to play at, or even above that, then yeah, I think Parramatta don't have any need to be too concerned with the loss of Jared Hayne. While it obviously will sting quite a bit, I don't think there's anything to be too concerned with if they're comfortable with the young guys they've got coming through and are confident that they can also recruit well going into next season. There's no reason to believe that they can't somehow make the top eight this year and then yeah, be pushing for one of the real top sort of free agents heading into the 2016 season and sort of continue on their merry way. But yeah, as things look right now, it's probably a little bleak for Parramatta, but yeah, plenty of opportunity there. And if I was a Parramatta Eels fan, I really wouldn't be too disappointed. I know obviously Jared Hayne's been like the heart of that team for at least six or seven years now. But yeah, I think it opens up some really exciting possibilities for Parramatta, and I'd be focusing more on the glass half full side of things for them. If I was an Eels fan, I wouldn't be getting too disappointed with the scenario they're in, because there's plenty of clubs out there that are looking a lot less interesting than Parramatta are going into the 2015 season. So for me, I see them finishing around 10th this season with about 24 competition points. So I would take the over on that 7.5 wins market on Sportingbet. So we'll move on to the New Zealand Warriors now. And the Panthers also split the season series with these guys last year, and thank God we did that, because that last game of the season, as I'm sure you all remember, was the game to clinch that top four spot going into the finals, and that was a freaking awesome day. It seemed like New Zealand were playing for their finals hopes as well. Their season was on the line, and we really worried that going into that game, their desire to make the top eight may have possibly outdone our desire to make the top four. But yeah, we showed at that game that we deserve to be a top four team, and they sort of showed why they were kind of where they finished. They, with the entire season on the line, they really did dog it last year, and they're a really dangerous team. Sean Johnson's obviously one of the most exciting young players in the game, but yeah, they had a chance to make it into that top eight last year with a win against us, and we obviously ended up cracking into that top four. But yeah, it was a really great game for the Panthers, and obviously would have been a real tough one for the Warriors fans. And we're only going to play the Warriors once this season. That'll be in round 23, and it's at home as well, which is really big, because yeah, going over to New Zealand is always a real tough ask, and when you eliminate that from the schedule, it's a nice little bonus to what's already been a pretty generous schedule from what we've seen this year for the Panthers. It's nice that we don't have to make that trip over to New Zealand. It's always a really hard game over there. I actually don't have many memories of going over there and coming away with the win, so quite happy to just eliminate that part of the season altogether. And yeah, we can just play that one game at home, hopefully steal it. It's another one late in the year. And yeah, it's been a common theme with what I've been saying throughout these podcasts that the run home for the Panthers is really, it's quite nice. And you have to assume that when it's a nice run home, it means it must be a pretty tough start to the season. And it is. We've got the Bulldogs in round one, which is about as tough of a way you could possibly start the 2015 season. They're obviously one of the real heavyweights, but yeah, a really nice way to finish the season for the Panthers. And I can't believe I keep saying this, because every week I've been previewing these teams, and they seem like they're all games that you, before the season starts, you would write down as a win for the Panthers. And we've got about five or six of them in the last seven or eight rounds. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, the NRL season can flip on its head just as easy as anything, and we could be looking at games in round one that think, oh, can't wait for that one in round 22. That looks like a real gimme. And then we get there and, oh, this team's actually way freaking better than we thought they'd be, and we lost some real easy ones along the way. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the season goes for the Panthers with that regard. But yeah, I'd say the most intriguing storyline for the Warriors this year is Shaun Johnson. It'll be interesting for me to see if he can elevate his game to the next level and become one of the top five players in the NRL, because I think that's his ceiling. I think he really can be one of the best, yeah, four or five guys in the NRL, maybe even eventually the very best. And yeah, he's got the talent. He's shown that time and time again throughout his young career, but we should now start to see the very best of him. And I think the best of Shaun Johnson is good enough to get a team into the top four. I think with the kinds of players he has around him, I think he has the talent to be that cherry on the top of a really, really nice looking team. And yeah, I think so long as New Zealand can stay a little more consistent this year than they did last year, I think they're almost destined for a top eight spot, and that's what I'm expecting out of them this year. I'm seeing them finishing around sort of fifth or sixth, and the over-under on wins for them is 12.5, which sort of slots them in the 28 to 30 point range as well, and that's what they did last year, and probably not enough to sort of guarantee them a top eight spot, but I see them more as like a 32-point team, and yeah, winning around sort of the 14 win total, and yeah, that would be enough to sort of get them around like sixth or seventh, and that's sort of where I see them finishing this year. It was a fairly lackluster recruitment class this year from the Warriors. The most notable signings probably Ryan Hoffman, who's coming over from the Storm, but even then he's now 31 years old and probably past his best, and even his best was probably a couple of years ago. But yeah, it's hard to say that a guy from face value is going to be valuable or not to a team, because he is also an extremely yeah, well sort of versed player in the NRL. He's had some really great experience, and even last year was one of the best players for New South Wales in some of those games. And yeah, he might be everything that the Warriors need in more of a leadership aspect when they are losing Fuleti Mateo, who's going to Manly. So bringing a guy like Ryan Hoffman might be everything that that team needs. Someone that's been a part of a winning culture at Melbourne for years now, that might be enough for them to sort of, yeah, I guess, leap over that hurdle and become more of a competitive team. So that will definitely be an interesting element to the Warriors team this year, what Ryan Hoffman brings to the table in the absence of Fuleti Mateo. And Dane Nielsen's the other one who's sort of a notable departure for the Warriors. He played a fair bit of first grade last year, and he's now headed over to St. George. So yeah, that's another loss for them. And they haven't really brought in any huge pieces apart from Ryan Hoffman, but they had plenty of depth to start with last year, and they've got a really great junior program as well. That under-20s side, obviously, in the grand final last year, and not sure if many of you guys remember this, but that under-20s team ended up finishing eighth in the standings after winning that. Well, actually, they drew that game with the Panthers with that sideline conversion, and ended up going all the way through to the under-20s grand final. And I think they actually lost it to Parramatta, but I could be wrong. But yeah, either way, they went a fair way in the 20s last year. I can't remember off the top of my head, but plenty of great juniors coming through for New Zealand. And yeah, every year we see some exciting guys coming out of the Warriors junior squads, and I'd expect that to be the case again this year. So yeah, another team, I think probably the first team of our preview series I'm expecting to be in the top eight next year. Parramatta are just outside that for me, probably sitting around 10th. But yeah, New Zealand, I would say, should quite comfortably finish around seventh, so long as they overcome some of those mental issues that seem to plague the Warriors year in and year out. And yeah, I guess the travel issues as well. But yeah, it's really the mental stuff for the Warriors, and so long as they overcome that, I can see them cracking into the top eight for the 2015 season. So this weekend for the Panthers, the Roosters will be hosting us up at Wyong. And yeah, not too much to really talk about on this one. I actually delayed the release of this podcast in hope for a for an exciting teamless Tuesday and previewing what we could expect out of the game on the weekend and what we wanted to see out of Jamie Soward and Peter Wallace and Elijah Taylor, Tyrone Peachy, all those guys. But I think in reality, none of those dudes are playing. It's going to be a fairly similar sort of team to what we saw playing up at the Auckland Nines on the weekend. So, yeah, I'd like to think that we're probably just going to get through this first week of trials. Just, yeah, following the same theme that we followed from the Nines, and that was get out of it healthy, move on to the next week. And the next week we're actually playing the Warriors over in New Zealand. That one's going to be broadcast live on Fox Sports. So something for all of us to look forward to. It'll be the first chance we get to see a more competitive looking first grade team out of the Panthers on television. And yeah, that's what we should really be getting excited about. So that's where I'll leave this one. But thanks again for checking out the show, guys. It means a lot. We're getting closer and closer every week now, and I am so goddamn excited. So any thoughts or questions, anything like that, don't forget to tweet me using the hashtag BlackCatPod, and go the Mighty Panthers.